Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26 and 27. And I wanted to get into verse 28 tonight. I don't think we will. I really just backed off studying because I want to take my time and work through it. But I didn't want to rush anything. But let's look in verse 27 tonight. And the Bible says, we're going to read verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Last week we talked about the Spirit of God being our helper. He was our load bearer. That word helpeth there means that he carries the load with us. He heaves with us. This is still talking about those same problems that we were discussing with our infirmities, those frailties, those things that weaken us. There may not be a complete sickness, but they are a unto death, but they're an infirmity. They are something that hinders us and causes us to feel weak and distressed in our life. And understand, there's physical infirmities, there's emotional infirmities, there's family infirmities, there's financial infirmities. Anything that weakens us and causes us to struggle, okay, and not be at our best, anything that we have to bear, anything that that causes us to feel under pressure can be and is an infirmity. Now, understand this. I'm not saying make light of your infirmity, but I'm not saying make much out of your infirmity. Understand this. You don't ask some people how they're doing. Amen? Because they're going to tell you. Everything from the hair follicle that fell out last night to the toenail that ripped this morning and everything that's in between. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, when we are facing things in our life, no matter what it is, that infirmity has an effect on us and those around us. And I'm afraid that in the day and age which we live, I'm afraid that we have come to the point that if we're not careful, we'll get so distracted by our infirmities that we will forget our purpose of why we are here. Now remember, sufferings are sure. That's what he said in verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Suffering is shared, for we know that whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. But we also know that sufferings are short. Amen? Why? Because they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. And honestly, the more we suffer, the sweeter heaven becomes. The more we suffer, the more we see God working in our life. The closer you and I can become to God, the more you and I need to depend upon God, the more you and I can learn to gain from His strength, and we realize our weakness. And until we realize that what we are not, we will never really realize what God is. Think about that just for a moment. Until you and I realize that we were not holy, we were not righteous, when we realized that we were a sinner and we needed a Savior, we realized how great Jesus was. Amen? Amen? But before then, we didn't realize how great He was. We'd heard about Him. We had heard stories about Him. We'd heard preaching about Him, teaching about Him. But when we realized that we needed a Savior, Jesus saves became the greatest words that had ever been heard to our ears. Man, aren't you glad that He didn't leave us alone when He saved us? Remember in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And man, I never be ashamed of the groanings that when you pray. Never be ashamed of the tears that you shed when you pray. Understand, God is nigh unto them. The Bible says that He draws near to those that come unto Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. The Bible says, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, O God, Thou will not despise. So understand, as we pray and we're praying ourselves through our troubles and our tribulations and our anxieties and our pressures of life, understand we're not alone. We've got somebody called alongside to help us. Remember, He said, I'll not leave you comfortless, I'll send you another. When need the Spirit of truth to come, He will guide you into all truth. Then we also see here that He prays for us and makes intercession with groanings which can't be uttered. And then we get into verse 27. And I thought tonight as I read that, and I have for so long, and every commentary I read, I thought this was talking about the Holy Spirit of God. But then as I began to study my Bible, I realized that this verse 27 was not speaking of the Holy Spirit. It's speaking of the Lord. Look at what it says. And He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. We're not talking about the Spirit, because He that searcheth the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. Let me give you another verse to back this up and let us see that this is the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the self-existent one, the one from whose face all the heavens and the earth fleeds away, the one who has all power, all knowledge, all knowing. It's Him, all right? That's Him, the great I Am. Notice, if you have your Bibles, 1 Chronicles chapter number 28, verse number 9. 1 Chronicles, go back to the Old Testament of your Bible. 1 and 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles. You have Schofield Bible, page 486. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the self-existent one, Jehovah God, searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the soul, of the thoughts. Now, if that's not a scary thought right there. Y'all were there? The Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations. Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 10. God said, I the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And remember, the best commentary on the Word of God is the Word of God. And over here the Bible said, and He that searcheth the heart, well, the Bible tells us who searches the heart. It's the Lord. The Lord searches the heart. What does that mean? Well, let's look here. It means that He looks within. The Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? That's why these people, they say, well, I feel it in my heart. I feel like in my heart I ought to do this. You might ought to be running. Because you don't know your heart. Hank Williams Jr. sung it best. Your cheating heart will tell on you. Yeah. Amen? It will. You don't know your heart. The Bible says, I know the heart. I try it. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart will deceive you, but God won't. Your mind will play tricks on you. It's called imaginations, but God won't. And understand this, in your trials of life, your heart will deceive you and your imaginations will drive you crazy more than any other time in your life when you find yourselves in infirmities. You have a something goes on, and I guarantee you, Miss Barbara, and I'm just going to pick on her because I can tonight and not Brother Green, but Miss Barbara laid there in that MRI and that noise, and she was thinking, man, they're going to have to cut my arm off. I've got all this wrong inside my arm. Am I right? Yeah. Why imaginations? You say, well, I wouldn't have thought that. What if you was laying in that MRI machine? You was. Huh? It's imaginations. And your imaginations will destroy you, and your heart will deceive you. But the Bible says, and he that searcheth the heart. So notice this, we have a load bearer, but we also have a Lord that looks within us. Now understand this. Grab your Bible, Psalms 44, verse 21. Let's look at another verse. Psalms 44. Have you ever tried to hide anything from God? Look at this verse. If you have a Scofield Bible, page 620. Psalms 44, 21. Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. He don't just know the outside of it. He knows them hidden things that you don't want nobody else to know about. And those things that you try to hide from him, those things that you, that lack of faith that you don't have, or that you have that you don't want to admit. You say, well, I think I have faith. Well, you probably ain't. If you think you got it, then you probably ain't. The lack of faith is this, when you go to God in prayer and you're saying, Lord, I sure would like for you to do this for me. But I don't even know why I'm praying, because it ain't going to happen. That's not faith. But we're not bold enough to come before God and say, Lord, I'm not going to ask you because, Lord, you're not going to do it anyway. But he knows what we're seeing. He knows the secret in our heart. He knows what we're dealing with. He knows the pain. He knows the discouragement. He knows the distress. But he also knows the deceitfulness when we come to him. Okay? He knows it. He searches it out. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You are an opened body to God. There is no clothes. I mean, you're before God just like you came out of your mama's womb. That's the way you are before God. But you're not even clothed in skin, because that carnal, that flesh covers that inside man. And you're naked and open before God. And you, not just you, but I, all of us, we're naked and open before Him. And you say, but preacher, that you're not helping me in my problems. Well, if you'll just get me to the end, I promise you, you'll see that how we can get help out of this. David said this in Psalm 69:5. He said, Oh God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Go to Psalms chapter 139, and we'll carry on to the next point after this. But go to Psalms chapter 139 and let's look. If you have Scofield Bible, page 140. The Bible says this. What did I say? Page 140. Page 667. It's Psalms 140 is at the top of the page. Y'all know not to trust me when I give numbers. We're going to be in the wrong chapter, the wrong book, singing out the wrong page. Psalms 139, verse number 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Boy, aren't you glad that he understands your thoughts? Now understand this, that word there means that he understands one way that they're not hid from him, but the other way he understands because he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He understands our doubts. He understands our fears. He understands those feelings of weakness and those feelings of despair that we find ourselves in. Those thoughts. He understands our thoughts even though He's afar off. He said, Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You know God is acquainted with you on your bad days just as He is acquainted with you on your good days. God is as acquainted with your ways and my ways when we wake up in the morning and we're singing, Why Me, Lord? Or we'll wake up in the morning singing, Victory in Jesus. He's as acquainted as we are with John, our attitude of John on the Isle of Patmos, of even so come quickly, Lord Jesus, as Job over there saying, Oh, that I might find Him, that I might come into His seat, surely I'd order my cause before Him, and He'd understand my grief. He understands that He's acquainted with all our griefs, just as Peter was there, stood in the garden with the sword and cut the ear off of Malchus. He understood Peter there just as much also as He understood Peter when he walked out on the water that day and began to sink. And that says He understood Peter when he stood in Pilate's hall and cussed because they accused him of knowing the Lord Jesus. He cursed. The Lord was acquainted with all of that. Do you understand that the Lord searcheth your heart and He knows everything about you? He knows everything about me. There's nothing hid. We're naked and open. The Bible says there that He has searched us. Look at the end of that chapter in Psalms chapter 139, verse number 23. He says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in life everlasting. What the psalmist is saying there, he says, Lord, when you search me, that term means as one goes looking for jewels in the mine. Now, I don't know if you've ever played with gold and panning for gold and how that you've took that. And man, I couldn't be a gold panner because I'd wash it all down the sieve with a pan or throw it out. You know what I'm saying? But you're there and it's a tedious task. And you're looking for something so small. And the Bible says, Lord, You've searched me. Lord, I'm naked and open. Lord, You know all about me. Lord, You know how disgruntled I am with You about my situation. Amen? Lord, You know how, Lord, I feel like I've trusted You, but You've let me down. Lord, You know how, Lord, I want to believe, but I'm like the man over there, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, You know these infirmities that I'm dealing with, Father, I know they're for my good because Your word tells me that, but Lord, I sure can't find nothing good in it right now. Oh, you're not saying that to God, but you're thinking that. See, we don't have enough courage to say it. So it does two things. Number one, it makes us a liar. Number two, it makes us a hypocrite. And the Lord searches that out and He knows that. That sounds pretty bad, don't it? But let's go on reading. I mean, if that was it, we would pack up ship and go home, or I'd give an altar call, and maybe we all ought to come. But look. What this scripture goes on to say. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. And remember, the Spirit is helping us and making groans and utterings with us, or making groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, our hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. And look at this verse. Not only he's the Lord, not only he looks within, but thank God he lives to intercede. Look, he said, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 18. Look at verse 13. Let's just start there. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. And man, I read that this morning. I couldn't help but thinking about that night. That night the Lord revealed that to us about them that's far off and them that nigh. Brother David said, man, thank God for them that was afar off. Amen. Man, I was one of them that was nigh, but man, they, some of y'all was that far off. And you say, are you saying you was lost, that we was more lost? No, but I was in the house of God hearing the gospel, and y'all was out in the world hearing the gospel. Aren't you glad he came to save both? Amen. Look at what he said. But go on. But look, it says, for through him, we're talking about Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Man, thank God there's no difference from them that were afar off and them that were nigh. We both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 7. We're talking about Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter number 7. Verse 25. Wherefore he is also able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Y'all see that? That he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for who?
Us.
Them that were nigh and them that were far off, by one Spirit he's made access to the Father, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us, and he appears in the presence of God for us, knowing the wickedness of our heart, knowing the discouragements in our heart, knowing the deceit that's in our heart, knowing the lying that we do, knowing the anxieties that we face, but yet he still loves us enough to appeal before the Father and say, Lord, that's one I purchased. I understand their pain. I understand their discomfort. I understand their anxiety. I understand their disappointments. I understand the deceitfulness. I understand it, but Father, would you help them for my sake? What a great Savior we have. That he can look into my heart and see all of my doubts and all of my discouragements and all of my deceit and all of my bad attitude about my trials and all my poor old me about my situation. But yet, he still appears before God on my behalf. What a great Savior. Aren't you glad he loves you? No, we don't deserve it. That's why it's called mercy and grace. And look, this is what he's pleading. Go back to Romans chapter number 8. He's like-minded. Not only we have he that looks in, but we have he that lives to intercede. Do you understand that? That the reason that he's living today is to intercede to God on our behalf. That's what he says. He ever liveth. Now let's go on and look and I'll be done. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's like-minded with God. I don't always like what I'm going through and what I have been through in my life. But I have never been through anything that I didn't come out the other side a better person, a better Christian. See, we see the now. He sees tomorrow. He sees what we are. We see what we are. He sees what we can be. His will is to make us more like Jesus. Plain simple. We've been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Look in verse 29. There's no change in that. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Remember what I shared with you either Sunday night or last Wednesday night about the Play-Doh mold? Everything that don't fit in the mold, everything that don't look like the mold, gets squeezed off and cut off out the sides. You know what? The reason you and I are going through trials and tribulations is because He's trying to conform us into the image of His Son. And understand this, and I tell my children this, I have to remind myself this, we are clay in the hand of the potter, or we are the stone under the chisel of the sculptor. But God's will be done in our lives because He purchased us and we're not our own anymore. Amen. You are not your own. The Bible says, glorify therefore God in your body. And you can either go by the soft hands of the potter with the water and the wetness of the wheel and the spinning of the wheel, or you can go through the hammer and the chisel of the sculptor with the stone. Amen. He's still living to make intercession for me and you. But you and I have been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And whatever it takes in my life, in your life, to get us to look like Jesus, guess what? God's going to perform it. Amen. Now understand this. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, that's okay. You can run. You can hide. You can forget God. But He won't forget you. You can get out there, get hard on Him, get bitter on Him, been there, done that. But you'll find the end of your rope one day. You'll be like the psalmist over there where he says, as the deer panteth for in the water in the brook, so my soul longeth after Thee. You'll be like Job, oh, that I might find Him, that I might come into His seat if I could just be in His presence one more time. And you won't mind whether it's under the hammer of the chisel, under the chisel and the hammer, or if it's the wheel and the water and the soft hands. All you want to do is be back into fellowship with God. Understand this, God's not against us, He's for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? He's invested everything for us. He is ever living to make intercession for us according to the will of God. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Let me show you what the will of God is, and I'll be done. You say, well, I just don't know if I like the will of God. Let me say this about the will of God. Number one, the Bible teaches me, in verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good. Number one, the will of God is good. Number two, and acceptable. The will of God is acceptable. And number three, the will of God is perfect. The will of God is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. It's not always pleasant because we're being conformed to the image of Jesus. And when we're going through those infirmities that's causing us to see our weaknesses and causing us to see our frailties and causing us to see that life as we knew it and who we thought we were really not who we really are. And we begin to try to deceive God and deceive others and get angry with God for what He's doing and compare ourselves to others. We have jealousy and we have deceit and we have conceit and we have covetousness and we have all these things. We say, well, I wish my life was better. I wish I was like... We sound just like the children of Israel. Would to God we'd have died over there in the land of Egypt. Take me back to the onions and the garlic. I had it better. That's what he's saying. But you know what God has for them, didn't you? Had the promised land. You say, but preacher, I can't change my heart about my situation. You're exactly right. You can't know it, and you can't change it. That's why the psalmist said in Psalms 59, that great psalm over there, David said, I believe verse number 10, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You say, preacher, how do I get myself through this situation? I know the Spirit of God is helping me. I know the Son of God is interceding on my behalf. I understand all that. But preacher, I'm still struggling. You know what you need to do? You need to go back to that first part of that verse 27 and then go over there to Psalms 139. And he that searcheth the heart, and you need to get before God and say, Lord, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thought. And Lord, not my opinion of me, not my opinion of how I think I'm doing, but Lord, you see if there's any wicked way in me. And I promise you, your attitude will change if you deal with what God reveals to you in your heart. And you'll be honest with Him because He already knows it. You ever tried to help somebody that had all the answers, but they knew what to do, but they didn't want to do it? Yeah, I know. Sometimes I think that's the way we are when we come to God. God says, yeah, well, yeah, Lord, I know that. I know I need to change. I know. But guess what? He's not left us in our sufferings. Hallelujah. Because understand this, you could be out there in the world lost, going through the same thing. Amen. You ever thought about that? That crowd out there don't have Jesus, don't have the Holy Ghost, don't have that comfort, don't have that blessed hope. Because understand this, these people in the world is facing a whole lot worse than me and you are. Amen. And they ain't got it what we got. Thank God, what a great Savior we have. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you.